Change starts and stops with a WTF moment. The first is, what the fuck am I doing? We finally wake up to the reality that our life is not what we want it to be. The denial is done. We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. If we never have that moment, nothing changes. The next WTF is walking towards fear. If you aren't willing to find your growth edges and take steps in a new and likely scary direction, again, nothing changes. This podcast is a space to explore open and honest conversations around creating change in our personal worlds, which honestly has become my favorite adventure yet. Thanks for following along.
All right, here we go. Another episode of the Walking Towards Fear podcast. And today I have a friend with me that I've met actually fairly recently, even though we both hiked the PCT in 2022, and it is Celia Binder. Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. I'm so excited for a chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. I'm really, really excited to chat.
Me too. I mean, the conversations that we've had, just the handful of times that we have met up and gone walking in the woods for hours on end, getting lost, have been awesome. And I was like, hey, would you like to record one of these with me? And you were like, yep, sign me up.
Yeah, it was cool because I hadn't really met anybody from the trail after coming back from the trail until I met you. So you were the first person I met who I hadn't known at all from the trail, or I just met up with, but still was a hiker and understood all of that. So yeah, I think we just talked at and over each other for 5 miles. How excited we were.
Yeah, with lots of wrong turns, lost in the right direction. But the other cool part is that you were also a business owner. So tell us a little bit, like, I'll let you set the stage a bit, like, who are you and what do you do?
Yes. So I'm an illustrator, a cartoonist, a writer, and generally an outdoor educator. So I went to school, I went to college, and I studied art. I didn't go into college thinking I would study art. I had always been interested in art and the outdoors ever since I was a little kid. But I had like absolutely no idea of what I wanted to do when I went to school. For a while, I thought I wanted to study international relations because I thought it was fun to travel. So if that gives you an insight where my head was at, it was all over the place. I have no idea what international relations is, but I ended up studying art. And a really like fine arts formal background. I did mostly oil painting and darkroom and alternative process photography. So a lot of like chemical processes, printing photos. And I just felt burnt out from that. So as soon as I graduated, I took a seasonal job with the Adirondack Mountain Club. I worked at the High Peaks Info Center in Lake Placid, New York. I talked to hikers, rented bear cans, collected parking fees, and just generally was never inside for the whole summer. And it was awesome. Ended up working there for a few years, switched over and worked at REI for a few years, taught some classes there, did the whole green vest thing, sold a lot of people backpacks. And somewhere along there in 2018, I kind of missed making art. I missed creating stuff. I missed using that part of my brain. So I just started doing drawings, little cartoons, stuff that I thought was funny, stuff my friends like half laughed at one time. And then I put it on the internet and did that for a little while. In 2020, I went professional and I bought an iPad Pro and an iPencil, and I started drawing on the app Procreate, which is the app that most people use to draw digitally. And yeah, just started to take off from there. I always wanted to make illustrations and cartoons that connect people's outdoors experiences, just general life experiences. So I really just was doing it for fun, just because I thought it was fun. Things that I thought were humorous or not, looking back at them years later. But that's kind of led me to where I am now. I am currently a freelance writer. I'm mostly an illustrator, but I kind of live in the space that most freelance writers live in, meaning that I make content for outdoor companies for them to use on their blogs and social media. It's just that instead of writing articles, I'm drawing pictures. So that's most of what I'm doing right now, but I'm also really early on in my freelance career. So I'll also say that I'm in the stage of doing anything. So I did some, drawings for a farm, and they paid me in jars of maple syrup. I'm illustrating a children's book. I'm doing whatever people want me to do and just kind of figuring out what I enjoy. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I also think that's a perspective that brings people super far when you start your own thing. Of just, you know, I don't want to quote niche down so early. It's kind of figuring out what I like by trying different things. So of the different projects you've taken on, do you have ones that stick out as things like you really loved and ones where you're like, yeah, that was okay. I did it for maple syrup, but wouldn't do it again.
Well, I'll always work for maple syrup. So if you want to email me at cbinder117@gmail.com, I will work for you and you can give me maple syrup. The thing that's most helpful for me, the projects that I've gotten the most out of are ones where I've learned stuff. And if you're an artist and you're trying to make money from your art and you don't learn something from every project or commission that you do, then you should slow down a little bit, because I've already learned so much from doing, you know, the year, not even a full year, of work that I've done. Just process things, because you can be a great artist, but you also have to be running a business. You also have to be communicating with people. So maybe I'll think, oh, I should have charged more for that. Or, oh, I could have done this in a way where I made the process a lot faster. So maybe I did charge the right amount. I just took too much of my own time. So, you know, all those kinds of little things, you know, this is not really, there's not really, I don't know how people can be working as an artist and not constantly refining, like refining their process, you know, how you talk to people, how you collect payment, how you do your creative process, because some of that can be streamlined and automated, so it goes faster. But then part of it is just like, shoot, I need to like work on this for 2 weeks. So yeah, I'd say like right now it's just all, I don't know, it's like every time I'm doing something, I think of a way that I could have done it better.
Well, it's funny because I feel like even for me out on the PCT last year, like a huge lesson that I learned personally that is translating professionally is that idea of like slow down to speed up. So what does your evaluative process look like? Like, how do you know when it's time to evaluate things?
Yeah, there's a podcast I really like listening to. It's by this guy named Andy Pizza, and the podcast is called Creative Pep Talk. And he talks about being a professional creative. You have two different modes. You have your flow mode, that's when you're doing X thing, and then you have your like review mode, which is when you're like thinking about X thing and how I could have done X thing better. So when you're like, when I'm making stuff, I'll try to like let myself have that like flow time and like, all right, this is my time to like figure out what I want to make. And then at the end of it, I need to be like, all right, like, did this work well? And then you try to just like set up a system from there, because you can't just like sit there and wait for ideas to come to you. You try to like organize it. And the more that you could just get yourself working, the better. So just like thinking of ideas, be like, okay, like if I want to make a cartoon about hiking, like what are all the things that I like about hiking? I'm like, well, it's like, you know, it's, you can think about like the action of it or like the place where it takes place, like all this kinds of stuff. And then you just start drawing those. So you just try to think of different ways to kind of like set up your systems, I guess. But you have to separate that, like, this is the time where I'm going to be creative. And then this is the time where I'm going to sit back and I'm going to like think about how that went and then like implement it for the next time.
Which is funny, because I think a lot of creatives naturally want to push against structure, and you are suggesting a bit of structure. But We had talked about this too before, right? You just said like ideas don't just come, like you can't just create when ideas are present. So how often do you create things? Like what's your relationship with ideas versus action?
Oh, it's such a, it's just like me pep talking myself right now, because I think we all can kind of, you know, I want to make my art when I'm sitting at my desk and it's 68 degrees and my coffee's like 95 degrees and the wind is blowing from the west, and then I will draw the picture. You know, it's like, because we all want that. Like, that sounds great, but that's not how life works. That's not how Celia can make money to then buy food. Celia needs food. So I think you can kind of force the perfect desk, you know, you can force the perfect situations. And I think the way to do that is just with repetition. So if I don't know what to draw, then I'll just like draw something, anything. And usually once you just get yourself in the like activity, you're okay. Like relating it to hiking. Okay. When you're hiking, you have this like higher goal. And you have really easy steps. You're like, okay, I want to walk the Appalachian Trail. I just have to walk 20 miles a day and I will get there. Oh, okay. If I don't actually hike 20 miles today, do I not hike the whole trail? No, I just hike a little bit less today and then I'll hike more the next day. So like, if you waited for perfect weather to hike every day, you would never make it.
Yeah.
So you just kind of do what you can, right? You're like, okay, like maybe I'm not gonna, you know, maybe today's not a great day creatively. Fine. Let me try it for a few hours. All right. Like maybe let me email a bunch of people and see if they want to, you know, I do wholesale. So I sell like stickers and cards and stuff. Maybe like, really my creative stuff isn't there today. I can send out a bunch of emails. You know, I can do something to make my art like better. There's always something that you can do, you know, with whatever mental energy you have that day. But I think a lot more of it just comes down to like buckling down and kind of like forcing yourself to get in that space a little bit, even though, yeah, you know,
like commitment to the process. Like, I know this is what I want to be doing, so I have to be doing that thing. And you said too, right? Like, we've talked about this a lot and I really want to, you know, record it in this conversation. Like the money piece, right? Like you're an artist. And I think especially, I mean, there's that stereotype of starving artists, like, you know, I just like to create and I don't get paid for this thing. So how's your relationship with like being paid well for what you do and like your value as an artist kind of changed over your artistic career?
Yeah, it's super interesting. Like I've been, because we have talked about this a lot, probably for like, it was popping in and out of that walk a lot.
Yeah,
but there's a difference between, I don't know, I guess it kind of depends on what you're looking to do. Like there's like a writer and a cartoonist guy that I really like, his name is Brendan Leonard, and he has been running a blog since like 2011 called Semi-Rad. And like if you like hiking in the outdoors or running or biking, you've seen, and you have, if you haven't seen one of his cartoons, it's like crazy because he's really, really prolific. And he makes like these short little YouTube videos, and he made one about art, and it was like making art or making anything, you know, just making anything creative in the creative space. You can kind of roll three dice, like one that says like this is gonna be fulfilling me creatively, one's gonna make me money, and one everybody's gonna like it or something like that. And you are going to roll all three dice, and like, you're not going to have the maximum amount of numbers on each one. So something that I really like isn't necessarily going to be something that's going to make me a lot of money, or is also not going to be received well. All the time I'll draw things that I think will be like really funny. I'm like, this is such a funny cartoon. I can't wait to put it online. Everybody's going to love it. And like, nobody likes it. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess my comedic genius is just on such a high level, but then other times you're like, okay, like this is just kind of like, I just drew this in 5 minutes and I just want to throw something up there, and like people will like really, really love it. And then some things I think are a great idea that people will buy a lot. They just don't. So you need to kind of figure out why you're creating stuff. If you're just doing it to have fun, then that's great. But you can also do things, like you can separate what you do. You can like do some more commercial work to then kind of like fuel your other art. You know, you don't have, like, not everything has to be the end all be all, or, you know, just because I'm doing commissions now doesn't mean I'm going to be doing commissions forever, or because I took this job, you know, doesn't mean I'm going to have to do it forever. You know, I kind of evaluate like why, if you are someone who's creative and you want to make money on your creativity, like I kind of evaluate like what your goals are with it, because I want to be, yeah, putting stuff out there that I love, but at the end of the day, I'd put out stuff that I would like, you know, it doesn't have to be totally perfect. It doesn't have to be like exactly like masterful, but it does have to, you know, make you money at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the world we live in, right? You just said you need money to buy food and Celia needs food.
Celia needs food.
We can't ignore it, but some people I think try to, which is fascinating. Like just sidestepping the money piece of being an entrepreneur, or just being a human, I guess, is problematic in its own way.
The way I think about it is like, I used to work at REI and I worked on the sales floor and I would like sell backpacks and tents to people. And I would like sit there all day and like fantasize about what it would be like to be making cartoons and illustrations for outdoor companies. And like, that's all I wanted to do. And now I'm doing that and I love it, but are there still times when I don't want to be doing something? Yeah. It's just because, but like, I'd rather have these problems now of like being in the thing that I want to do and then having to then combat my, you know, procrastination or, you know, like email inbox. I'd rather have those problems than the problem of, wow, I really feel like this is passing me by and I'm not doing the thing that I want to be doing.
Well, okay. So how'd you get there? Like, it's easy to talk about this. And this is what I like to bring people back to in these conversations, right? We're here. You're like, I got an iPad Pro in 2020 and that made me a professional. And I was like, noted, if I want to become a professional, I've got to get an iPad Pro. And once you go there, right, you're like, now I'm doing this thing full time. You've made a switch. And I'm sure that wasn't just like, you know, snap my fingers, flip the switch and everything was hunky dory. So walk me through like the decision-making process for you to like believe in yourself enough to like go full-time freelance.
I guess part of it is feeling confident in my skills. So I got that iPad in 2020. I was still working at REI and I basically treated my Instagram like a full-time job. I would just post cartoons like a few times a week. And like from the outside looking in, it was like, oh, this woman must be a professional artist or something. So it was being confident that I had skills. Like, if I wasn't confident in my ability as an artist, then I don't know what business I think I would be having, like approaching companies and saying, hey, can I do this for you? So number one is to just like really refine whatever it is you want to do and get good at it and then try to get better at it and then never stop, because you can always get better. And also learning is fun and Instagram tutorials are amazing and TikTok is amazing. And I won't go down that rabbit hole too much, but yeah, get really good at the thing you want to do and then continuously try to get better at it. There are so much better artists than me. There are better illustrators than me. There are funnier cartoonists than I am, but, you know, I want to be in those spaces with those people. So beyond trying to be good at whatever you want to be doing, I would just pitch. So for me, it's about pitching. So you pitch different companies and say like, hey, I have this idea, you know, I think it would be really funny to make this cartoon about preparing for a through hike, except it's all the things that you probably shouldn't do for your through hike. Like maybe it's not a good idea to
dehydrate 100 bags of spicy bean chili, because maybe that won't go over so well. Like, don't do that. Okay. So I would just write emails. I would write emails to different companies. I would like DM different companies on Instagram. I would just engage with them on social media. And then eventually I finally got a couple of people to say like, yeah, like these ideas are great. The first freelance gig I really did, it was for Garage Grown Gear. And I still have been making, like writing for them, making illustrations for them. But basically once, I mean, it's not even anything fancy. You're just trying to reach out to people. And then once you get something, do a really good job of it. I know that sounds really obvious, but like as quickly as you can respond to people, do that. As nice as you can be to people, be that and do as good of a job as you can. And then to be honest, I'm just being very honest with people. Be like, hey, like, thanks. I'm glad you really liked what I made. You know, I'm at the beginning of my freelance career. So if you know anybody who's, you know, needs more people, like, let me know. And they're like, oh yeah. Like, and so, you know, you just try to be good at what you do, be nice to people. And then, you know, you'll find other people to work for. And that's really it. That's all I've been doing.
Half of Celia's to not do list is take no pride in your work and under deliver everything.
Well, try to be good at what you do and don't be a jerk. And then you'd be surprised. I mean, how far that can go. And then, you know, maybe you should answer your emails, but if you're hiking, you know, that's fine. You got a couple of days.
You got to pass on hiking. Okay. So you also took, you know, 5 or 6 months off from your business last year to also hike. So how did spending 6 months, 5, 6 months doing something that you loved affect like your business? How did things change for you on the trail?
It pretty much defined like goal setting. You know, you hear people on Instagram talk about goal setting, like, hey, like manage your goals and achieve your dream life. Like you can do it with me in 12 seconds or less. And like that feels really are like abstract and like kind of, you know, I don't know, it just doesn't feel very real. But then there's something that happens when you do an outdoor adventure and you have this really big goal. It's so big that you can't think about it all at once. And then you just take that very clear goal and you break it up into steps. And it's just each day is a step and you just make a little bit of progress every single day. And then you achieve something that was so big, you didn't think you could do it. You're like, oh, wow, I did it. And the way that you do it is by not thinking about all of it at once. You just think about the next thing. So I never sit back. Well, that's a lie. I do sit back sometimes and think, oh, how am I going to do this? And then I think about it all at once. And then what I do is I get overwhelmed and then I go to Dunkin' Donuts and I get a couple of donuts. But the moral is you can't, if you sit back and you think about hiking the whole Pacific Crest Trail and like, oh shoot, I have to quit my job. I have to put my stuff into storage. I have to walk all this way. I have to not get eaten by a bear. I have to, my leg can't fall off. Like that's really hard to think about all that stuff. So if you're like, okay, I want to be a freelance illustrator. Like what the fuck is that? How am I going to do my taxes? How am I going to make any money? Like how am I going to have work to do? Like what even is that? So it's the same kind of thing. You know, I try not to think about all of it at once. I try to just think like, all right, like just take the next step, and then you take the next step, and then you take the next step, and that's how you have to keep looking at it.
Yeah, and I love that analogy of like you can't just, you know, sit back and kind of wish and hope and wonder, like, because I've been there too. I used to like sit in a recliner with, you know, an armful of popcorn just waiting for the movie to start, you know.
And it sounds really pensive, like I'm picturing leather bound notebooks.
Oh, exactly, for sure. But when we sit and wish for things to happen, like not a whole lot does. But I think we get stuck in this like cyclical just thinking about the thing instead of doing the thing. And everything you've talked about so far has been very kind of action oriented. And like, you do have to get out there and do things. Like people make offers and
I'll be the,
to what you're doing.
I'll be the first person to say like, that is not my comfort zone. Like I am someone who can very easily slip into, you know what, I'm just going to sleep in. I'm just going to go eat a couple donuts, get a coffee, and then I'll start working. Like, it's very much not, I don't think anybody who would look at me would be like, you know what, Celia, she's driven. It would be more like, Celia, she, like, she can be kind of lazy. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that my head will go to those anxious places of like, I need to think about all this. I need to sort it out. And it needs to be the best that it possibly can be right now. Because as artists, like and all creative people tend to be perfectionists. They want everything the way they want it right away. But you just have to, you can't think like that because you'll never keep pushing things down the line. So you just have to keep, just take whatever project it is that you're looking at and just say, hey, I'm going to take all that energy that I could funnel into worrying about the future. And I'm just going to use it to do what I'm doing right now. And then you will get to that place in the future. I mean, I will get there in a few years. Like we're all going to get there, but like you can't think about it or you won't do it. It'll just be too much. It's just crazy like that. But that's what hiking kind of shows you too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the only way to get there is by getting there. Like it sounds dumb, but like you have to just keep moving forward. And you just said, right, you can't think like that. And that's what this whole thing is about, right? Walking towards fear, having that moment of like, what the fuck am I doing right now? Where do I want to be heading? And then how am I thinking? Like, is this useful? And I think it's very easy for anybody who's in the world of, you know, following their dreams, like shit comes up, like it can be fairly terrifying. And you just said too, you're like, you know, I'm not typically the person people think of when they picture the poster child for like, you know, drive, but you do those things anyway because you love it. And I know like through our conversations, like you love what you do. So like with where you are now, what are you like working to create from this point forward?
I'm trying to work, like what I'm trying to do with my, I want to do a few more projects that are really focused on what I want to be writing. So right now, with the kind of illustration work that I'm doing, I'm like illustrating some things for other people. But what I want to start doing is I want to start telling a few more of like my own stories. And what that means is that I have to carve out time to, you know, balance what I'm doing that is like bringing me income versus like just making stuff that I also want to make. So I guess I talked about it earlier, but right now I'm feeling like I have things that I want to be creating. But I'm mostly spending my energy on like things that I'm making for other people. So I guess, you know, what I want to be doing in the future is kind of like balancing those both out.
Yeah, totally. And when you think about like where your freelance career kind of started, where you are now and where you're headed, like what are you probably most excited about?
Oh, just to do more things. Just to do more things because I am like just barely getting started. And, you know, I feel like I've learned more about how I want things to run in like 3 months than I ever had when I was just like working at REI and like dreaming about this art life. Like I know that it sounds cheesy and that it's all over everywhere, but if you like experiential learning is it, like you need to learn from doing stuff. There will be no substitute from doing stuff and like sort of messing some stuff up. Like the mistakes that I've made, I've already figured out like, okay, like definitely not gonna do that again. So I'm just excited to do more because if I keep making art, my brain's gonna be so big, it's gonna be insane.
I know, we're gonna have to like, cut that sucker open, need some space to breathe.
I know. Well, why do you think I wear a visor? Come on now.
Ah, the secret's out.
But yeah, I'm just excited to do more stuff because I really do love creating. I love meeting people. Everybody I've met in the outdoor industry has been like, you know, I've never loved emailing people so much because everybody's so nice. So yeah, I mean, I'm also a person who I enjoy learning. I like being, you know, semi new to things, so I can still figure stuff out. So I'm just excited to keep making stuff because it's fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the piece, right? Like, if you're not having fun with what you're doing, but you say you want to be doing that thing, like, check in. Why? Like, I try to make things fun and playful. And when the thing that you love starts becoming a chore, like, it's, I think people automatically label that as like, oh, I must be doing the wrong thing. I'm like, or you could just make that thing more fun again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like so true. It's like, well, you know, people think like, oh, you're an artist. That must be so fun. I'm like, well, it's also a job. Yeah. You know, and there's, I wanted a job, you know, but most of the time it's pretty fun.
Yeah. You still there?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, cool. And that's the thing, right? Like, having a job that you love that is fun. And I'm not saying people have to like go full time in their own thing to make that happen. Like, people can work for companies and love what they do and enjoy it. I think what, you know, the reason I enjoy these conversations is because people are enjoying what they do. Like, they're not chained to a desk, hating their life. They're like, I have some personal power here to like make an impact in what I'm doing. And I'm choosing this thing, and that's fun.
Yeah. I think that's what's so interesting about like doing a through hike. And, you know, you hear people like, wow, like, how do you do that? Like, how do you just stop your job and, you know, go hiking for a long time? It's like, well, I quit and then I put everything in a box and then I went. And you know, I really love hiking and the outdoor stuff. And I think that like everybody should get outside. And I think that it is good for everybody. But even more than that, like, I think that everybody should just be doing something that they are passionate about and realize that it's not that hard to get started doing that thing. But, you know, I think a lot of people will sit and think, I would like to do something for probably like 10 times longer than it would take to just start doing that thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely myself included, like, oh man, like, I really want to get into running. It's like, well, you could just go out and run for like 60 seconds and it would be a, like 100% more running than you're doing right now, you know? So yeah. So it's like, yeah, I just want, you know, I just think it would be cool if, you know, people felt, you know, maybe it's that people feel like people will judge them or something for, you know, or people feel ashamed about being bad at something, but like, you know, all that, fuck that.
Truly, just get out there. And I think you gotta be willing to like fuck around and find out a little bit, like try the thing, see if it works, evaluate, and like, just keep it fun. Cause when it's not fun, like, you're not going to want to do it.
Yeah. Period. Like, one of my life heroes is this guy named, his name's Banana George. And he was like he's a water skier who dresses in all yellow. And he like became like a professional water skier. And I don't water ski or know anything about that, but he didn't become a professional water skier until he was 82. And like, I just remember thinking that, I'd be like, I just think that is like the coolest thing in the world. Like, he just like got into it because he thought it was fun and he was that old. Like, I just think that is really inspiring for anyone who thinks that, you know, they'll look silly doing something or they don't want to try something new. It's like, that guy's, he's crushing it.
Yeah, Banana George is paving the path, let me tell you.
Paving the water.
Yeah, true. Or I guess no equivalent of paving on water. That would make no sense at all. I gotta think of something else. But to your point, right? 82. And I hear that a lot from people, like, well, I'm like too old for this or I'm too young for that. It's like, I don't want to be the one to break it to you, but like, you're gonna be 40 no matter what you do.
You're gonna be 40 no matter what you do. And you know, just give whatever you want to do a shot, you know, because to be honest, like, once you get used to like a couple people being like, you're working as an artist, like, how do you do that? You get over it. You know, it just doesn't bother you anymore. You're just like, yeah, it's fine. You don't really need to understand. It's okay.
Oh my gosh, that's how I feel about coaching. My family, I think, is like starting to get it, but they're still kind of like, what is it? And I'm like, you don't really need to know. Like, that's fine. And right, like, no matter what it is you're looking for, it's easy to let people's opinions kind of, you know, permeate your brain and like their fear leaks into you. But if you're confident in what you're doing, like you said before, like it's believing in yourself first. And if you have that, everybody else's stuff just kind of bounces off of you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you're just like, you know, this made me feel a little uncomfortable the first time, but yeah, come on, buddy. You're going to have to try better than that. Like,
yeah, because it becomes like, not what can, like, how am I going to do it? But like, what could possibly stop me? Like, there's a total 180 that happens, I think, at some point when you have that confidence in you.
Right. Which you definitely have to have, you know, or not even like all the time, like, you know, cause we're all humans and, you know, I think the thing with confidence that I've learned the most is that it's more of a learned trait than it is something that people have. Like, you can learn you can practice confidence, you know, like you can like do things like look in the mirror or put yourself in uncomfortable situations and get more confidence, which is like a nice thought. You're like, oh, this is not just something that you have or you don't have. It turns out that like, hey, like the more I, you know, go running and take care of myself, the better I feel. Like the more I like go out and have conversations with folks that are like, you know, meet new people and feel a little bit uncomfortable, like, hey, like I feel better, you know, the more times I get myself out, I feel better. And it's like, oh, like I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to have the same amount of confidence all the time. Like I can get better at it. Like, ooh, like that's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's the learning piece. You said that before too, but like, that's the same context. Like, yeah, confidence is huge, but it's not really a prerequisite. You get it from doing the thing. So you just kind of have to accept, like, I'm not confident now, but by doing it, I will become that.
Right. It's like me, a confident business owner. It's like, yeah, like I will offer you these skills. And then like also me Googling, like, what is net 30 payment? Like, like, I don't fucking know what I'm doing, but you know, you just say that it's like the fake it till you make it thing. You're just like, yeah, absolutely. I got you. And then you sort it all out from there. You know, people want projected confidence for sure.
And I think this is why I also have created this like piece we're rolling into with this segment of like, it can be really easy for people as business owners or people in life to be like, look, I have all of the things together. And it can be easy to like offer to help people, but not always the easiest to receive help. So I love this idea of like people saying, hey, I don't exactly know what I'm doing all the time. And if somebody out there has a thing that would be helpful for me, because I don't know everything, like, let's connect. So you know that there's an opportunity for people to ask for, you know, something of my audience in their podcast, in their recording. So I'm curious if you had time to think about that and what you'd like to kind of ask of the people who are listening today.
I did think about it. And I think, you know, the thing that would help me out the most is, you know, I have been, you know, kind of putting a lot of this stuff out for free. A lot of the cartoons I put out are free. I've like just barely started to scratch the surface of ones that I've actually been paid to create. I think there might be four that are on my page right now. So I'm just trying to, you know, get more people to take a look at my stuff and possibly purchase something from me, because next month I'm going to be relaunching my website. We're moving over from my own site. I'm going to be on Etsy now, and I'm going to be selling stickers and prints and t-shirts and stuff. Basically, if you like the outdoors jokes and you have $5 to $10 to spare, this is going to be a great place for you. So yeah, I mean, you know, you can take a look at some art, you can buy some art from me. You can also just take a look at some art in general, like, you know, engage with some artists online, go to a local museum. Like, I think that would also be nice, you know?
Yeah, I love that invitation on both ends, right? Like, part of the reason I like having a platform of conversations like this is to give other people exposure to what they're doing. Like, I love what you're doing. We connected a handful of times, had stellar conversations over, you know, lots of mountains, and then was like, hey, do you want to be part of my podcast?
Like, we also ate some of the best barbecue ever.
It was so good. That's
really good.
I'll have to link it in like the show notes. Honestly, I'm not sure how to do show notes, but I'll just figure that out too.
We'll start it out. We're confident in our abilities to learn.
People need to know about the best barbecue in Massachusetts for sure. And so where can people find you? Like, where can they find your art?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram or my website. Everything is the same. It's just at Celia from work. That's where all my stuff is at. Mostly Instagram. You know, most artists are on there. And I tried TikTok, and I think I'm still on there, but I just, that's the one where I gave up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm old.
We'll pick and choose whatever we want to do. I'm playing with TikTok at the moment.
You can follow me there. The Etsy site is not up yet. It's going to be up later in May. But if you follow me on there, I'll be posting about it.
Awesome. And I'll toss that too, because I know kind of your style very much, what you're up to and what you're doing. I've been following it. I love it. So if people have, like, you know, even stickers they want done for their own business, right? There's a lot of hikers that listen to this show. There's a lot of just adventurous people, because that's who we talk to here, right? Adventurous risk takers kind of in their life and their business. Yeah, if you know someone that's looking to write a book, wants to illustrate it, like, just check Celia out. Her work is really, really cool. She's really good at what she does. She takes, like, she was talking about this whole episode, like, excellence is something I think you really kind of embody, like, in your work. And it's fun because that gets to leak on to me as your friend. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. This is just, it's like pepping me up right now.
Excellent. But thank you for having a conversation with me and anyone who's listening today. I think especially in the creative space, and granted, we could argue almost anything is creative, but it's just a slightly different nuanced perspective. And the way that you've built your business is super fun to watch. And I can't wait to keep seeing what you're creating.
Oh, thanks, dude.
You're welcome. All right, everyone, keep walking towards fear.